All right. Thank you, everyone, for joining in. My name is Yinka, and I am your host. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Today, we have the Asset Money team with us, and we will be, you know, having a very fun conversation. Today, we're talking about NFTs. Where do we go from here? So the Asset Money team is building a really cool product in the NFT space. It's sort of like a marketplace, but not really. I won't go into all of the details. I'll let the team come in and, you know, do justice to all of that. I'm sure they will be more than happy to, you know, provide a lot more clarity into the tool they're building and all of that cool stuff. All of that being said, I will put up Shivam so he can introduce himself and just give us a quick, you know, intro as to what he does. You know, first off, you know, introduce himself, you know, tell us a bit about his history, and then come in and tell us a bit about what Asset Money is, the problem they're trying to solve, and all of that cool stuff. So, Shivam, the floor is yours. We'd love to hear from you.
Yeah. Hi, folks. So I'll just give a brief introduction of what I do at Asset. So I manage growth and strategy at Asset Money. And it's one of the several things we are doing to elevate sort of the NFT space right now, to make sense of things, put it concisely there. The larger idea is that 2 years or 3 years down the line, when maybe 5 years for that matter, given the current market cycles, we'll be in a post-chain world as how we look at it, where, you know, the idea of a chain dilutes down and the use cases are actually more prominent in that space. And we do feel that NFT as digital assets would be one of the most prominent use cases of going or onboarding the masses out there. So how we are looking at it is, out of the several marketplaces that are available today where the action is happening, how we look at it is, how do you make sense of maybe a Magic Eden, maybe an OpenSea, multiple collections going out there? That's just the onboarding side of things once you buy your first NFT. But then there's, how do you make best use and tap into interesting communities related to that project or that collection? That is one. Second, there's a whole world around DeFiX NFTs where you can buy, sell, rent, give it as collateral and do so many things around it. The third section is obviously the copyright, the CCO. So NFTs, be it a Bored Ape or a CryptoPunk, that have in their own right got a pop culture status, right? So there would be too creative endeavors that would be happening around them. So that is third. And decentralization for us means it happens on a very invisible level, not on a product level. So how do we make sense and connect the dots between all of these sub-communities, sub-cultures that are going out there? And Asset Money is the go-to place. So you not just buy your NFTs, you discover ways. So be it a land NFT, can you sort of look at the land in a 3D view or in a gamified sense? So do you understand that, you know, through this NFT, the piece of land that you are actually buying, that is one. Second, music NFT. How do you immerse yourself in that whole artist experience so that you get enough confidence in that artist and invest in them? That is second. Third, gaming NFTs and so on and so forth. So it is a place to discover project through experiencing them. Experience-led discovery is what we call it. And then starts the journey of a non-native to a degen, where they get to manage their portfolio, get an estimation of how this would fare in the resale markets across chains. So whenever we talk about it, it's beyond chains. It's not a chain maximalism concept that we sort of are looking at right now. So that is one. Second, can you set alerts for the collections out there? Which is second. Third would be, if you look at it from how do I make it a social experience, engage with my fellow investors and collectors. So that is the third idea. So largely, this is how we are today building Asset Money. Would love to double click on any of the things that you would want.
Oh yeah, awesome. Thank you for that in-depth intro. I liked the last part about it being like a social experiment. So do you want to talk a little bit about that, how the team is thinking about that and the steps that are being taken to sort of make that possible? Because it's actually very, very important when you think about it, because NFTs they're largely social than they are financial, right? I think what drives the value is a lot of the social consensus around them, around the token, around the project, the art, the hype, you know, and then being able to distill that into individuals buying and owning NFTs together collectively and having a conversation. And I suppose to an extent, that is, you know, that happens in like the Discord community. And even Twitter has done an amazing job with making NFTs mainstream with the profile picture, follow for follow type vibe that that fellow investors carry out on different projects, right? So how exactly is Asset Money thinking about the socialization of NFTs inside of Asset Money?
Yeah, so one of our approaches is kind of realizing and kind of acknowledging the fact that people don't exist in a single chain ecosystem, right? Like a significant amount of people, they belong to like multiple ecosystems, right? They'll have some, say, they'll have some activity on Sol, they'll have some activity on ETH, Tezos, and so on. So one of our next steps where we are trying to work out is kind of bring all that activity towards one single place through Asset Money, through profiles. And like once you have like this multi-chain activity at one place, then there are different aspects that you can play around with it, right? Like then we can show like overlapping communities, like based on the NFTs a person holds, we can enable messaging once that, once cross-chain messaging as a ecosystem itself matures more. So ideally, there are a lot of things that can be done in this space, but it will start with profile and multi-chain interactions and so on.
All right, that makes sense. That makes sense. So what role do you think even Twitter has played largely in the socialization and driving mainstream NFT adoption mainstream generally? And this is an interesting topic and an interesting thing to talk about and discuss, given, you know, the Elon takeover of Twitter and what the future of like crypto Twitter looks like.
Yeah. So like overall, like the crypto journey since say like the last bull run when it started, I guess like 2021 or something, the punk sweep and all. So I feel like Twitter has like, it's an incredible platform for, you know, anything Web3 and NFTs. And in general, I feel like Twitter kind of has its own circle of NFT ecosystems right now. Like that's collections start, that's where collections engage, announce and so on. And in general, Twitter as a product as well in the past few months or, you know, the past 2 years, it has kind of been very adaptive towards NFTs, starting with hexagon profile pictures. I feel that was one of, even though like technically it might be really simple, but I feel it was kind of really great move because they had done it like pretty early. So it was a great move on their end is what I feel. And even now they're trying to make marketplace views easy on Twitter itself as well. So, you know, I feel like all of this does contribute a lot in improving the experience of existing people as well as onboarding newer people. Like, I'm sure that what many people did is like they just converted their profile pic, like their current profile pic to NFT just to have that hexagon as well. And these are like non-NFT natives. So it's pretty good to see that Twitter is driving this kind of adaption.
Yes, I 100% agree with, you know, the hexagon move was a really good one. And Twitter is playing a huge role. And I think someone tweeted that, I think it was a tweet around the line, along the lines of one, if Twitter was to shut down or, you know, takes away free speech or all of that, you know, the crypto Twitter and Web3 as we know it will take a big hit generally. And I think that's true. And that is also a problem, right? That goes as a testament to how reliant we are on the sustainability of Twitter, reliant we are on the fact that this platform should not go down and people should be active here, development should keep still happening and all of that stuff. So as crypto evolves, generally, we will need to... Okay, and then there was another tweet along the lines of, oh, Twitter is quote-unquote done for when all of the Web3 enthusiasts move into like a more decentralized platform that, you know, encourages, you know, and so on and so forth. I don't think I particularly agree with that because Twitter is a combination of both and we need that. It's a combination of crypto enthusiasts and noobs. And we need the average guy to listen to all of the hype happening about crypto to get curious enough to adopt it, as opposed to when we seclude ourselves to a crypto only platform, mass adoption isn't going to happen that way, I think.
Yeah, agreed. If we do need newer people, like we need people who don't really have a wallet today, and it's kind of like we need this cohort of soft onboarding where people can start with a non-custodial solution, which is what happens say through on a tangent through other platforms like say Instagram. You essentially first will see a lot of NFTs floating around in your normal way of life, and then you might get interested and eventually adapt it. Even like a lot of drops that have happened, which are non-custodial platforms, right? Where you have to say sign up with your email or phone number. I feel like soft onboarding is kind of really needed, and Twitter, and you know, even other platforms, they play a very important role in that. Because, like, agreeing with what you said, right? Like, if we move to, say, Web3 only platform, the very prerequisite is okay, you need to have a wallet to onboard on this platform. We might not see that rate of an onboarding, that fast rate of an onboarding.
So, well, I hope, you know, as adoption continues to increase and people continue to build in this space, everything sort of just, you know, hopefully becomes self-sustaining as much as it can be. So when a platform like Discord, for example, I don't know, sells out or something, you know, we are not just left on our hands and we're sitting ducks like, oh, okay, what do we do now? Or maybe Twitter brings in some very weird rule because now it's a private company, or it will be a private company, given that, you know, Elon Musk owns it. Only God knows what happens next, right? Like, okay, so what happens next? You know, and we could argue that the bull market is largely hinged on a community like Twitter, right? Where people can easily exchange information, where people can easily get information and act accordingly. I know, you know, getting, you know, alpha from Twitter and that made some really interesting changes. So yeah, it should be very interesting as how that evolves. Do you think Asset Money in any way, shape, or form could get into this market and solve some type of problem we've discussed right now? So essentially, the problem of how we rely on Twitter for a lot of things in crypto and Web3 is, like, do you think there is a solution that Asset Money can solve, or do you think there is a market share that Asset Money can take with that in terms of the socialization part of things?
So, like, in terms of, like, strategies, there exist multiple ways to kind of tackle this problem of kind of communication centralization is what I would call it. But, like, at the end, everything would be up to execution. Like, I'll start with in general, and then maybe some things that specifically we could be doing. To begin with, I guess an emphasis on where communities kind of gather, right? Like, right now it is like, even if we look at very traditional collections like the Bored Ape or Doodles and so on, they do not, you know, specifically encourage gathering on a different platform apart from, say, Twitter or Discord. It needs to kind of bottom up, which is communities kind of encouraging and rewarding their own people to connect at different platforms other than Twitter and Discord, which is, of course, like, a very difficult problem to solve. It kind of becomes a problem as difficult as creating your own social media. If we were to, say, solve it on a smaller problem, the smaller scale would begin with collection-specific communities, with creating, like, okay, you hold this collection, you can get right access to a particular community on Asset Money. Outsiders can come and view a specific forum or something of that sort, the read-only forum, if they don't own the NFT and so on. I feel that's the kind of direction we could be working in.
All right, awesome. That's cool. That is cool. Looking forward to all of the developments that will be happening with the Asset Money team. So essentially, it's a good way to pivot into an early segue into this is, who is Asset Money built for, and who essentially is Asset Money built for? What is the barrier to entry with noob who has no idea what they're doing with NFTs, trying to figure their way around it?
So ideally, you know, like, right now we are trying to cater to more younger users in terms of more people who are not so experienced with Web3 yet. That's our next cohort that we want to target, kind of looking at people who may have not bought their first NFT, who might have not created their own wallet. This is the kind of direction that we are proceeding right now. But if you talk about the current platform, we are somewhere in the middle between a beginner and a very experienced user. For the future, our, like, you know, our direction is somewhat trying to work with people who have never bought an NFT, or they have a wallet, or they might not even have a wallet. That's the kind of direction we are trying to evolve ourselves into.
All right. Okay, cool. Makes sense. So essentially there are plans for boarding the next wave of enthusiastic users who, you know, practically maybe have no idea what they're doing, but are excited to get into this space.
Correct.
Yeah, so that being said though, so, you know, logging into the Asset Money app and, like, you know, trying to navigate the platform, it required that, and I know obviously this does make sense, right? But it required at first glance that I insert my wallet. I connected my wallet. So assuming I am, you know, completely new to this game, right? Like, yo, I have no idea what I'm doing. I'm trying to just play around with this platform. And again, I'm a noob. So how are we trying to solve that problem for entry level users who do not have their wallet set up, but, like, perhaps would like to play with what Asset Money offers.
Yeah, sure. So, yeah, like, you know, ideally, that is the current flow, and we are working on alternative flows for the kind of users you talked about, right? Like, for that, we can look at, can start looking at, say, social login or more focused towards, you know, something like, hey, don't have a wallet, get started here, and so on. People are able to choose whether they, okay, whether they want to use an already existing social login, whether they want to onboard by creating a new wallet. So we are currently working on that particular flow right now.
Okay, yes, that does make sense. You did mention that. All right, cool. Sounds
good. Yeah.
So NFTs have had, I use had as a past tense loosely, because we recently saw what happens with the art gobblers, right?
Yeah.
But NFTs have had their fair share of the limelight and taking a huge chunk of the market share of, like, you know, crypto and the finance space in general. I think there was a time when they were almost the entire market cap of NFTs in general was almost close to traditional art, you know, in traditional world. So, and again, today we're talking about, like, NFTs, where do we go from here? So what exactly are your thoughts as what the future looks like for non-fungible tokens?
Yeah.
And this goes beyond, to an extent, the art side of things. This goes to non-fungible ERC-20 tokens, like the technology itself. We could also go into the arts. We could go into, like, the cool side of NFTs. But perhaps even the functional side of NFTs is an interesting conversation I'd like us to have right now. So what are your general overall?
Yeah. So, you know, like, I would like to start with the thing. NFTs are kind of easier for first timers to understand, because there is something tangible that people are getting in return of spending their money, which is not really that tangible with other parts of crypto, right? Like, say, when you buy crypto off an exchange, you are going to see some numbers and all. All of it has its own place in terms of speculation and in terms of an investment vehicle or so on and on. But NFTs kind of stand out in the way that, even if you don't really understand NFTs, you know, even OpenSea allows people to buy with debit cards and credit card. The same with Nifty Gateway. And now with Instagram, this is only going to be amplified. So one of the greatest things about NFTs is it kind of tends to leave tech in the background. It allows other things to become the face, which is a really great thing. Because, you know, what this enables is it enables a whole bunch of use cases. There have been people experimenting with tickets, passes, community accesses. In general, coming back to art, I feel, although it is kind of although for a first timer, it doesn't feel as organic. But when you do start to realize that, okay, like, you know, like, if we look at the amount of artists who are dead today, if there were some remains of their works which were as easily accessible as NFTs, right? It would be really great, like owning a fraction of a Banksy, which is possible today. People are fractionalizing existing works, artworks of legendary artists. But if this would have happened on chain by default, I feel it would have been a different game altogether. Something really great. And I feel that we are kind of entering this era, right? Like, today, one of the most popular on-chain artists is, like, Xcopy. 10, 20 years down the line, I do feel that those are still going to be valuable. But apart from that, the access to them will be slightly much more easier than traditional art. It's not like, even if I talk about myself personally, I never really had that much of exposure to, say, traditional art forms in general, you know, or artists through my normal way of life, because it just doesn't happen, right? Like, you will be following those artists on Instagram or something, but you are not really a part of their ecosystem apart from some likes. Since then, I have been, say, randomly collecting NFTs of which, say, some artist was a part of, participating in their free drops and all. I feel the involvement as a collector is sure to rise. You don't need to be around that city anymore. You don't need to visit exhibitions anymore. Like, it is happening online, and, you know, you can be a part of it in a way which is not going to be lost. Attending an online, you might attend an online event for a particular artist, and that's where it is lost, right? But today, with, say, POAPs and NFTs, it's kind of like your attendance or, you know, your involvement is being recorded.
Yeah, no, those are very solid points, because I particularly like the idea of how it is now a global landscape, right? Because now any artist, any individual can basically be into any community, quote unquote, without having to physically be there. So we're not restricted by, you know, having to only fly to Paris to art of, like, the Bored Apes, because it's quite literally everywhere. And even if there was, like, a session that the artists who drew the Bored Ape, or who drew the Art Gobblers, or who drew any of the blue chip NFTs we currently have, can easily, you know, put up a a Discord channel or start up a live stream, and everyone gets into that community, and everyone can be rewarded, like you said, with POAPs and NFTs, that the attendance, oh, hey, I was there. This is proof. It's on chain. It doesn't go anywhere. As opposed to the traditional world where you just need to buy a ticket and there is no record of anything whatsoever. It's like, oh, well, the only record you might have is pictures and selfies you might have taken. And
eventually they'll also get lost somewhere in your gallery or some other place.
Exactly, right? If you need to like scroll, oh, when did I take this 5 years ago on the 7th of like January, you know, 2010 and all of that stuff. So NFTs really have as a means of bringing people together and restricting and reducing barrier to entry as far as people participation in art has been very good and impressive to see. I suppose we just really do need a lot more. Well, again, that's interesting. Do we need more traditional artists to come into the NFT space, or is the current art we have now the new way of art? Right? It's like, you know, an example to that to make it make sense is traditional artists, like, you know, someone, the Renaissance type of artist, like, let's assume Da Vinci was alive, right? Van Gogh was alive at this point in time. Their art is very different from art goblins, right? You know, their art is. It's fairly different from, and we know those are like PFP projects, so those have fairly different vibe and different audience. But those are what is mainstream now. You know, those type of art gobblers, Bored Apes and all of those. So those are like the things that are mainstream, perhaps because of the PFP elements to them. But my question is this the future of art? Or do we need more traditional artists to come into this space? So there is more diversity, the plethora of artistic works we can experience in the NFT world.
Yeah. So to be honest, more the merrier, like the more diverse amount of artists we have on the platform, on the ecosystem, I feel that would be great. Right. There was a story of a new artist. I guess they were great pixel artists, and after a lot of thought, they eventually decided, okay, I'll do my first NFT. They put their first NFT on Foundation and their tweet went viral and so on. And I guess they were able to earn 2 or 3 times their annual income through the sale of one NFT. And this is life-changing money for a lot of artists. And before that, just before they had put this tweet, a few months before that, they were doing commissions for hundreds of dollars, right? And I'm sure that the person who eventually ended up buying the NFT from this artist, they did not really buy it for any short-term speculation. They bought it specifically to support the artist. I feel, which is what we need to see on a much larger scale happening, right? Like an increase in say traditional artists coming on chain. I feel that will also lead to an increase in collectors coming on chain, because now they kind of want to support their artist in one way or the other, you know, even though it might just be through retweeting a tweet about their NFT or either buying their NFT in the first place.
Yeah. Those are interesting thoughts. Those are interesting thoughts generally. And I think, you know, we just also sort of covered like what the future of NFTs are, and it'd be interesting to see how things evolve beyond the art. I'm particularly keen on seeing NFTs being used more on things besides art. And you know, I'm sure we are aware of some of these use cases, but primarily it seems like that is what it is centered around. And it goes back to something you said about how it's a lot easier for people coming in to the space to relate with the art than with the tech. And like Instagram, you know, enabling NFTs, that is also going to drive, you know, adoption, because a lot more people, artists are on Instagram than they are on Twitter. So that's interesting. Right, people who do really fancy artistic works and stuff, there are a lot more of them on Instagram than they are on Twitter. So, you know, with that, with this window right now that Instagram has opened and they collaborated with Polygon, it should be interesting to see how much more adoption we get into this space. You know, what are your thoughts about that? And do you think that will open a lot more doors?
Yeah.
Cool. But so I'm curious, what are some of the general use cases of NFTs that particularly excite you? Like, you know, when you think about NFTs, use cases or the tech or like everything in between, what are some of those things that just, you know, get you fairly excited?
So one thing that I am continuously fascinated by is, you know, POAPs, and I feel they are a great, they are well implemented. Like at the end of the day, the NFT is on EVM chain itself. The way they work and the way they are being used, the kind of collaborations that those people are doing is really great. POAPs work with or without a wallet as well. That's a great thing. Getting a POAP is as simple as, say, you talk with someone from customer care and you can kind of have a POAP kind of rememorate that, okay, I had talked with this person. It in a smaller scale time, you know, it doesn't really matter that much. Okay, it's just a simple badge that you got. When you collect, like, say, a bunch of these over a year or so, it is a really exciting, it feels like, you know, you can almost relive that journey of whatever had happened. POAPs at physical events, POAPs at online events, these again start acting as records of what had been happening. And we already, some brands have been excessively great, exceptional at kind of leveraging stuff like POAPs. Even when Adidas did its own drop, they did a POAP drop first, in which people could just go to their app and they could claim their free POAP. And then eventually people who own the POAP, they could mint their particular NFT and so on. It's really great amount of adoption going on accordingly.
So POAPs is where it is. You essentially enjoy the idea of like a proof of attendance, like, okay, I was here and this is a proof that I was here and this is kept on chain.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Like, because it does not kind of get rid of magic without having the knowledge of the tech, how the end experience of a user must be. Like, you know, people don't have to put in any money as well to get started with POAPs. That's why it's a great first point of touch for people, is what I would say. For some cases, in some cases, claiming a POAP is as easy as most iPhones have a NFC tag today, right? So at least in countries with or events at which people have NFC-enabled smartphones, it's as easy as going to a particular booth, tapping your NFC tag on it, and you would claim your first POAP through that. Ease of this very interaction is much easier than you having to, say, buy something and so on.
Ah, yes, I see your point from that angle. Now, it's basically people do not have to spend money to experience what an NFC is with a POAP, and then they get all of the benefit with, and if that comes with having an NFT, of it, without having to have paid money as the barrier to entry.
Yeah, yeah, exactly right. So, and there are a lot of things that actually, like, not just POAP, some artists will be doing their free drop. Even platforms like, say, Mirror, people write articles and stuff. There you can claim NFTs on Optimism or other low-cost chains, right? This whole thing of idly on, I'm not sure if this is the proper term, non-serious NFTs, you know, where people don't need to involve any effort or, most importantly, money to begin with, right? So that makes it really interesting in one way or the other.
Right, yeah, so that makes sense. However, one of the interesting things, my interesting thoughts with POAPs is most influencers or most people who use them and reward, you know, viewers or people who come and listen or watch their content or whatever, they really do not put any thoughts into the POAP they're giving out, right? It's like, it's usually just very poorly done, basic, just like zero level of thoughts put into it. And it's like, oh, hey, you know, this is a POAP to sometimes enthusiastic and maybe naive NFT crypto Web3 newbies who are like, yo, I'm excited to come into this space. You know, anything you give me, I'll take. And I think that probably needs to be addressed a little bit. It's like, if you're going to do this, as far as like you are onboarding people into this space, sort of like, put some thoughts into it and, you know, work on the design possibly, or just make it generally better than the bare minimum.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, like, again, I feel that there will be different cohorts of this, like both serious and non-serious. Some people might just do it for fun. They might do it for, like, say, really non-serious use cases. Whereas some people, like Ryan Carson, has his own Twitter spaces where he's kind of distributing a POAP each day through his spaces. And eventually he's going to reward these people for collecting these POAPs through his own NFT collection and stuff, which is kind of a more serious application of POAPs. I feel like our goal must be kind of trying to shift, say, more non-serious interactions, slightly serious ones where people do feel that, okay, there is a purpose behind it, rewarding it as, say, some form of something like a loyalty reward or something on that sort.
So back into like utilities and the things being done with NFTs, it's like, you know, I think a couple of weeks ago, there was the news that was trending that an apartment or a building was sold as an NFT, and that sort of like holds its proof of ownership and stuff. So, you know, I mean, so now we have like houses being sold as NFTs, you know, perhaps we have Teslas being sold as having an NFTs version variant of them. How far down the rabbit hole do you think it can go with NFTs being tradable to like real world asset, land, businesses, you name it?
Yeah, to be honest, like, I feel there is no virtual limit, but I feel if we were to really, you know, address how far down, I would say like as far as regulation allows. A lot of things that are still happening, they are very much into the gray, right? But we are kind of still pushing boundaries on the amount of stuff that can be pulled off. It's a great thing to have, right? Like even the sale of the particular the home that happened, it was a POC for them, and you know, eventually they are going to do it on a much larger scale. I feel we are just going to be pushing the line slowly until one day eventually everything like kind of regulated. No matter how much we do try, but at the end of the day, the only limit right now is what regulators allow and what they don't want to allow.
That's fair. However, is it sustainable though? So like, yes, you know, NFTs are being traded and all of that cool stuff. Is it sustainable? Is it the ideal way that we can use them as a form of ownership for real world assets, right? Because, well, I mean, one of the arguments I can think about to that is, say a wallet, someone forgets their seed phrase to their wallet. I suppose the equivalent to that would be like house being burnt with the document that holds down proof of ownership for like an apartment. But essentially, let's say, you know, someone forgets the seed phrase to their wallet and that's gone. They can no longer prove that they own said assets.
Yeah. So I guess this is kind of, you know, where there is a term called like basically slow decentralization, step-by-step decentralization. So of course, you know, today when like wallets are like, although I do strongly feel this will keep happening, but when scams are really running rampant, this is where, you know, like the last example you talked about the home, right? That's where that comes in as well. Because their way of execution was they had a multisig, and anyone buying the NFT would need to be kind of allow listed through their particular protocol. To hold or transfer the NFT, one would need to be KYC'd with them. If you really see, some people might argue that KYC is like walking a step backward. But again, just as far as regulation lets us go. Yeah, they, for avoiding any such incident, right, they had a multi-sig in place. If you want to transfer an NFT, say the lender of the particular property and the current owner of the property, both of them would need to agree with it. In a genuine case, both of them would ideally. You know, I feel like in those cases, it can be well covered. Basically building on-chain, but with added constraints to acknowledge all these things that could happen, you know, instead of trying to neglect them, one needs to really acknowledge them, just like the company selling these homes acknowledge well in advance and build their system accordingly. If it can go wrong, it will surely go wrong. Like, you know, they have like this saying in tech, right? If you feel, if there is a possibility that it can go wrong, it surely will go wrong at some point or the other.
Yeah. I think this even goes beyond crypto and NFTs, right? Things go wrong all the time. It's like, you know, we new tech is being brought in, it is iterated and it gets better. But, you know, things do go wrong. We're a lot more sensitive to it in crypto because there are like financial incentives that are easily taken away. Like there are hacks that cost a lot of money. There are all of that cool stuff. But I guess as regulations get better and as development gets better, a lot more things are secured, a lot more things are structured, and it's less chaotic.
Yeah. And eventually, since everything is just starting right now, it's going to be chaotic for a while. People experiment, things will break. But once we have like appropriate systems in place, I feel we'll be much, like even stuff that we don't seem to appreciate a lot, right? Swapping platforms like Uniswap and all, hardly 4 to 5 years old. OpenSea itself is like 5 years old. People say that the overall crypto space has been here for say 14, 15 years. I still feel that we are still a lot left to be done and happening.
There is still a lot to be done, 100%.
Yeah. As a sector, we don't break a lot of irreparable things. Once we break a few things here and there, I feel we'll be on track at a much, much better place soon.
Yeah, no, for sure. We definitely might need to break a couple things as the space. And now we've broken a couple things. The ecosystem has broken a couple things to get us to where we are at that point in time. And yeah, you know, that's cool. That's good.
Because, you know, like sometimes, although I don't have such a great knowledge in terms of legal and other stuff, it's surprising in the recent cases, say Uniswap was asked to restrict some particular tokens on their platform. They were not allowed to have some particular tokens on their front end, but you could still access them because the Uniswap protocol itself is like it's not owned by any particular organization which is regulatable. So it's still great, right? Like you can, although the interface itself is now, although those coins or those tokens would be restricted on the interface itself, there still exists a workaround. It's kind of fascinating that this still exists, because looking at the amount of regulation otherwise in all other sectors, something like this would be a dream, right? For most of the other sectors, doing something on your own without having to touch regulatory approval.
Yeah. Regulation really does. They are eating us up for breakfast. But I suppose it's a very sensitive space and things have to be done carefully. But
exactly.
It's just also that, and there is a bit of archaic mentality with embracing new tech. And you know, it's a middle ground between, oh, this is risky and we are afraid of new technology.
Yeah, but feel like we might still be in the early adopters phase. Feel like things seem to be going smoothly, to be honest. Like, you know, even like during everything is almost 80% down from, you know, this is the very top, still seeing Twitter like trying to make NFT purchasing easier. We are still seeing Instagram first just integrating digital collectibles or NFTs. Mm-hmm. Now even powering purchase and sales of digital collectibles, Reddit doing its own NFT drop, Starbucks moving its loyalty program on chain. A lot of people who might have joined us during the peaks, they might have become dormant, but we still continue these kind of, and these eventually are the ones that, you know, that will contribute to mass adoption. Specifically, I feel Reddit avatars itself, they contributed a lot in terms of new users to the space who were having NFTs for the first time through that 0-1 journey, again as an NFT collector or an NFT speculator or whatever to call it.
Yeah, no, 100%. It's been a huge wild ride with people, seeing people come in and a lot of noise on crypto Twitter, as it is said. And now, you know, things are just like a lot more cooled down and actual developments are happening now. So yeah, it's interesting to experience these cycles as the space evolves, as people evolve, as the tools evolve and they get better. It's usually just fun to see.
Yeah.
Awesome. So we will round this up with me asking one question. What are, you could say, two things that excites you? One, in crypto Web3 as a whole, and perhaps maybe more specifically to what Asset Money is building.
Yeah, sure. So in general, you know, Web 2.5 adoption, right? In terms of what Reddit is doing, which is like very specifically, if we speak about Reddit, right? Like it's a very organic integration, right? It's not as if other platforms, TikTok and all, they have not done their own NFT drops. They have done that very well, right? They have done like fundraisers and all. But Reddit really stands out, a very, very organic integration of NFTs into an existing product, which is kind of being picked up by Instagram as well. You know, their new walkthrough of, you know, minting and purchasing and selling an NFT through the Instagram interface, where a person does not really have to leave the primary app itself. I feel like these are really exciting points. Although, you know, they might not really lead to like fully on-chain activity, I do feel that is kind of a good balance to strike, right? Like where people don't really need to know that, okay, this is an NFT. The term digital collectible, impressive and well understandable enough, right? Like people don't need to really understand how all of this is working. They just need to understand, okay, now I can support my favorite artist by buying a digital collective, just like I would buy a skin in a game like Fortnite or CSGO. Now I can buy an art piece from my Instagram artist. Like it will still be out for public to watch, but at the same time, the public can see that kind of support this artist by owning this particular NFT. You know, again, like this whole Web 2.5 adoption is kind of very exciting for me specifically. And in terms of assetment, something on the similar lines, because we are trying to build something in the same direction, right, where people can quickly onboard without needing create a wallet. It's kind of like, you know, eventual adoption, like some of these people who are not creating a wallet today, a huge amount of these people tomorrow, they are going to create their own wallet when they want to move out, right? Because even if we look at our personal journeys, I feel most of us, you know, bought our first piece of crypto on an exchange, right? And then we moved off to MetaMask and other specific non-custodial wallets, right? Where we are fully in control, right?
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah. So that's the kind of direction like even we are moving in. And the same thing I talked about earlier, multi-chain interaction, multi-chain activities, allowing people to see that, okay, these are your assets across multiple chains. This is what is happening across your chains. This is your current portfolio status and so on. If we were to go like really long term, then it would be like bringing this whole communication in a forum based format, platforms like Asset Money, or bringing them to Asset Money as an aggregate, you know, through outside platforms and so on. This really excites me in terms of the fact we as a platform do have a chance to kind of do that.
Cool. Yeah, I'm excited for the term digital collectible as far as like NFTs are concerned. It's less intimidating, I suppose, to people coming into this space.
And, yeah.
Yeah, it should be fun to see what happens between now and the next 2 years and then maybe 5 years and see how everything evolved. But this has been a super fun chat to have with you. Thank you so much for coming in and spending time.
Yeah, same here.
Talking NFTs with us here at the Dapp List. It's been super fun. We're looking forward to the really cool stuff Assets is doing. I particularly love the platform. Really cool, very intuitive. For me, I'm a crypto native, so had no problems figuring anything out, but you know, we always need to be sure that there are accommodations and development being done to onboard newer people into this space.
Indeed. Because you know, like if we just go in a circular fashion onboarding like the already existing people, I feel we'll reach saturation at some point. So it's very important that we kind of enable new people without a wallet or who have not created a wallet yet to become a part of this whole NFT ecosystem in general.
It's all part of the process as we evolve.
Yeah.
All right, so awesome. Thank you so much for your time again. Thank you, everyone, for joining
us. Thanks for hosting us. Thank you.
Yes, sir. This has been NFTs, Where Do We Go From Here, Web 3.1 is a one talk show with the Asset Money team. And until next time, we'll see you guys. Have a good one.